before, just as we enter into this part of our service. Lord, we pray you continue to speak to us, Lord. We pray that you will continue to bless us, Lord. And where we need to be blessed, we pray you will bless us. Where we need to be challenged, we pray that you will challenge us. And Lord, we pray we hear your voice here, Lord, in this sermon, we pray. Amen. Those of you who've been here for some time will know that a long time ago now, when I'm with you, I started on a series called The Purpose of the Church. And there were six purposes. I'm sure there are more than that, but we isolated six, and we've come to the sixth and last one today. But just let me recap on the first the first five. I mean, we did say that the church needs a purpose. It needs a purpose to survive. It needs a purpose to live. Without that purpose, then we've got what on earth is it doing? And the first purpose of the church that we looked at was worship. And we said that essentially to worship, we needed to worship in spirit and truth. And to do that, we needed to be totally surrendered to Him. The second purpose we looked at was fellowship, Christian fellowship, based on oneness of purpose, oneness of mind, and a life grounded on our relationship with Jesus. And thirdly, we looked at discipleship, nurturing new Christians so that they too can in time become disciples. And we had that phrase, make one to make one. Make one to make one. And then we looked at the purpose of service and the importance of using both natural and supernatural gifts in serving Him and each other. And we reminded ourselves that Jesus came to serve and that we must do likewise. And the last time we looked at evangelism, we acknowledged that this is probably one of the most intimidating purposes of the church. But reminded ourselves that we are commanded to tell others about Jesus. Commanded. That's not if you'd like to do it. Commanded to tell others about Jesus. And today we come to the end of the Purposes of the Church series. And I hope that it has inspired some thinking about what our purposes are and what we can do better to fulfill our purposes and to be meaningful to for you at Sandy. I want to finish the series with prayer. It's a purpose that, when you first think about it, it doesn't seem like one that's terribly exciting. But it's one activity that every person, no matter what his or her physical attributes might be or limitations might be, they can do. It's an activity, it's a channel of blessing. I want us to just hold on to that. It's a channel of blessing for all who will use it. See, everything we do in church should be bathed in prayer. Everything we do should be bathed in prayer. If prayer doesn't drive out sin in our lives, sin will drive prayer out. Aria Torrey, the great preacher in evangelism, said this, and I'm always challenged by the greats of old. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. How? Oh. If we're too busy to pray, then we're too busy to have power. We may have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. We may have many services, but few conversions. There will be much machinery, but few results. Challenging words. If you feel that your church is a grand little church, but it's not growing at a pace that you would like, then you need to ask yourself, what is your prayer life like, individually and corporately? Prayer is important. Corrie ten Boom, I'm sure many of you have read her books, The Lady Who Survived the Holocaust. Corrie ten Boom, she said, and this is again a challenging phrase, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? You know, the spare tire is, we just use it in emergencies. We don't use it on an everyday basis. I recognise some of that in me. I recognise some of myself, and we need to be honest with ourselves here. In crisis, whoom, straight to the prayer, straight on my knees. Other times, if I remember, there's something wrong with that ratio. Something wrong with it. Should be the steering wheel for everything we do every day. Lord, even if it's just to say thank you, just to say thank you for my home, thank you for my family, thank you for what I have. Not just to be used as a spare tire. See, too many times prayer is used as a spare tire instead of the steering wheel of our lives and the church's life. So what can we do to change this? Why should prayer be an important part of our lives? And here, this is where you're going to have lots of scripture. Because it's not just Frank saying this. Our Lord Jesus and scripture says it as well. Jesus was devoted to prayer. And somebody's got a sheet mark number one. You need to stand up in a nice big voice. Can you just turn around and speak to?
Jesus was a priority in prayer. He looked at 12. It was a time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent a whole hour in prayer with God. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself will often slip away into the wilderness and pray when he was busy and tired. And Matthew 14:3, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was late, and when it was evening, he was there alone.
Jesus made a priority himself in prayer during his darkest hours, when he was about to be crucified. During his time of deepest need, Jesus made time to pray. Whenever Jesus did something, or before he did something, he prayed to God. He prayed to God. Before he'd done anything, he prayed to God. Before he raised Lazarus, he prayed to God. Prayer meant to Jesus. It meant everything to Jesus. It was not only his regular habit, but it was his resort in every emergency, however slight or serious. When he was perplexed, he prayed. Isn't it interesting to think that Jesus was ever perplexed? The God of all was perplexed, but he was. From time to time he was perplexed, and he had prayed to his Father. When he was hard pressed by work, he prayed. When he was hungry for fellowship, when he felt lonely, he prayed. When he was tempted, he prayed. When he was criticized, he prayed. When he was fatigued in his body or weary in spirit, he prayed. He was devoted to prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning. And it kept that flow of power flowing throughout his life. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer. That same expectation we can have when we pray, when we bring our hearts, we bring our circumstances to the Lord in prayer. The early church was devoted to prayer. And somebody's got a one mark, number two. Well, what a catalogue of things I mentioned there. The early church. Individuals, leaders, devoted to prayer. See, prayer is a way of saying, this is something serious. This is something which I'm devoted to. Prayer is a way to show devotion to someone or something. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing, pray, never stopping. Pray, 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 never stopping. Why should we pray then? Well, a good reason to pray is that, and a good reason to give it priority is because God hears us. I don't know if you've ever thought about the idea that this God of all creation, this all-knowing God, the God who created everything, including you and I, wants to hear you speak, wants to hear you talk. He hears you. He hears you. Someone's got a number three. Number three at the top of there. Yeah.
Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray to one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much.
The Spirit helps us in our prayers. You know, sometimes we bore ourselves because perhaps we've just been repetitive in our prayers. God knows all about that. He knows what's going on in your heart. Doesn't have to utter the words. But reassure that if you are lacking in confidence in prayer, that the Spirit prays on your behalf as long as your heart is tuned in. That's a great release, I think, for many people. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. But prayer is the channel also from which blessings flow. It's not just all addressing stuff to God. There's a real blessing in prayer as well. And somebody's got number four, please. Prayer is a channel from which blessings flow. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Of course, we need to understand that prayer is in keeping with God's plans for you. He's not going to grant a prayer which will ultimately do you harm. It's prayer is in keeping with God's purposes. And prayer is the phone line to God. It's the phone line to God. And this is another quote from R.A. Torrey. He says, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. The wonders, the wealth, the magnitude of heaven, all of the kingdom is available to those who pray. I don't know about you, but I can hardly get my head around that. But I need to believe it, because that's what Jesus said, and if we're followers of Jesus, we need to believe that. All the storehouse of God's infinite grace and power are at the disposal of prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer is also a way of giving thanks to God, expressing our gratitude to God. It is probable that in most of us, our spiritual life is impoverished and stunted because we give little space to gratitude. It is important to thank God for blessings received. Where we look back, a backward looking at our prayers. Thanksgiving. And give it freely. You know, I know some people, hi guys. I know that some people actually keep a prayer diaries, and they will list their prayers and then they'll list the responses to it. And it's very interesting to go back sometime later, go back in retrospect and see how God has answered that prayer. Maybe not in the way you expected, maybe not in the way you prayed, but he has answered that prayer. And that can be a great comfort and encouragement for the future, for future prayer. Remember that we love him because he first loved us. A prayer alives. Prayer that we see is in operation, that we see producing results, gives us hope for the future. I know when things are bad, a lot of people, most people do respond with prayer. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have that hope every day. Have that hope in the darkest of days. God hears our prayers. You know, other people need our prayers as well. and people who they do not get along with, people who we may not be that friendly with, they need our prayers as well. It's relatively easy to pray for those who are our buddies, let's say. But praying for those who we do not get along with. Somebody's got number 7. We're nearly at the end. If you have a grievance against someone, if you dislike someone and you pray for them, it somehow mellows the heart. You can't pray for somebody and continue to hate them. You can pray that they change, but pray for those who you hate. Pray for your enemies. And of course, the sick need our prayers. We'll be praying for some people who are sick during our time of communion in a few moments. I'm going to finish with this last idea on prayer, that government and church leaders need our prayers. I'm just remembering a huge conversation with somebody about praying for those in government, and there was a great dislike for that because they just hated the government, and it's so easy to do that. But scripture says those who have been put in power, we need to pray for them. It's not for me to question that. That's what the scripture says. Pray for those church leaders. And government need our prayers. And somebody's got number 9, which is the last of the readings.
Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him became a burden for the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul.
So we pray for all those in leadership that they will lead with knowledge, they will lead with justice, and they will lead with love. Hallelujah. I want to just conclude with some important points. I want to say again that prayer is important. It's an important function of the church. I don't know how many times I've been told by a person who didn't think they could do much that they had either too old or too infirm, or that they were too lacking in knowledge, and that they couldn't do very much. I forget how many times I've told them, well, if that's the case, you can have a prayer ministry. You can have a prayer ministry. Never too old, never too infirm, never too lacking in knowledge to have a wonderful ministry in prayer. And I have to say, usually the response is not very enthusiastic. But the rewards are great. Hallelujah. The rewards are great. See, prayer is a privilege. It's a privilege, and we can pray at any time. I used to get very frustrated when I found myself in traffic jams, or just missed the green light and found myself stuck in the traffic jams. And I knew I wasn't really acting in a Christian way to feel aggravated and a bit angry. But I read about another man who had felt the same sort of frustration. And he had come to he felt the Lord was saying to him, whenever you're stopped, whenever you find yourself in those situations, just look to the left and the right of you. And just pray for the occupants of the cars, of the wagons, the lorries who are next to you. And I do that now, and it works. It really works. I really feel that this time is not wasted. I'm actually doing something constructive. So, you know, I just throw that in. We can pray at any time, in any circumstances. See, if you tell somebody to do something that's hard or spectacular, they're more apt to go and do it because they feel that, oh, I've done something. You can do nothing more important than pray. Hallelujah. Nothing more important than pray. Joni Erickson Tada, that lady who was injured in an accident as a young woman, she says this about prayer. Prayer is like art, like music. But like so many other disciplines, prayer can only be appreciated when you actually spend time in it. Can only be appreciated when you spend time in it. Spending time with the Master will elevate your thinking. The more you pray, the more will be revealed. Hallelujah. But we need each other as well. Pray individually, pray corporately. Pray corporately. Martin Luther, I want to close with this quote from Martin Luther. And it's about the importance of praying together as well as individually. He said that if the prayer of one person doesn't help, the prayer of another person will. But sometimes we need to be praying together. And let me close just with that portion that I mentioned earlier. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? Is it your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire, only to be used in times of emergency? Clearly, that's not the right use of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you've given us this wonderful privilege of being able to come to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of all heaven. You've given us the privilege to come to you and to talk directly to you, not just repetitively, not just with well-rehearsed prayers, but the pleas of our hearts, the darkness of our hearts, the things that really trouble us, Lord. You don't care whether we come with frustration or even anger, but you do ask us to come with genuine hearts. And Lord, I pray that we might do that more and more as we move through this 2024. Lord, give us a new expression, a new excitement about prayer. And Father, help us to reap the rewards of such prayer. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to come to a time of communion and gathering as a family.